Good morning, everyone. In a dramatic setup to tonight's State of the Union address, President Obama addressed competitiveness in his weekly YouTube address over the weekend.
We're living in a new and challenging time in which technology has made competition easier and fiercer than ever before.
All right, dramatic is a little tongue-in-cheek. He only got about 19,000 hits on that YouTube video. He better hope for a bigger rating when he addresses the Congress, both the House and Senate, the branches of government. The Supreme Court will be there, of course, and the American people in the State of the Union address tonight, which is expected to relate in part to this idea of competitiveness and using the private sector to stimulate job growth in the United States, a nation that has an unemployment rate very near to 10%. This morning, to sort of critique that message, talk about the challenges from a real economic perspective, and to get a sense of what's going on over in Davos, Switzerland, where the World Economic Forum is just getting started, Chrystia Friedland, global editor-at-large for Reuters, joins us. Good morning, Chrystia.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Great. It's great to talk to you. When you hear competitiveness and productivity and, driving those factors to make America a better sort of economic player in the world, a lot of workers here working longer hours for less pay, that's what productivity is about. What's the big picture of competitiveness and productivity as America tries to compete with lower wage workers around the world?
Well, I think the competing with not just lower wage workers, but with these sort of hundreds of millions of people who have come on stream in the world economy. That's something that I think was really sort of underscored by the visit of President Hu last week. And I think we are going to hear more from President Obama in the State of the Union address talking about how, you know, America has enjoyed this unique position really for all of most of the past century where, as a company, if you did well in the United States, that was enough. The U.S. consumer was a huge driver of economic growth for U.S. companies and for the whole world economy. And what I think has really changed is that now for companies to succeed, they have to succeed in the global economy. I interviewed last week Jeff Immelt, the CEO of GE, who has now been appointed by President Obama to lead his Jobs and Competitiveness Council. And Immelt said to me that for him, 2008, the financial crisis was really the turning point. And he says that was the moment when, for him, you know, the CEO of this huge multinational, really manufacturing firm, that was the moment when having to be successful outside the U.S. became central to the success of his company. It's a big change.
Well, let's talk about that on a national scale. I mean, I'm wondering if, because American, in raw number terms, American exports are actually pretty robust. It's just that we have problems both within our economy that makes it difficult for American companies to actually maximize their exports. And we also have this huge indebtedness problem and a lack of savings in the United States, which requires that for the U.S. to overcome these difficulties, we need growth of 6% or 7%, whereas China doesn't need anything like that to create a sense of prosperity and wealth. Have we put sand in our own gas tank here, and can Obama really get these sort of impediments out of the way?
Well, you are right, John, about the exports. And that is, I think, a really excellent point to make, that actually, you know, one of the successes we've seen since 2008 is a real surge in U.S. exports and actually U.S. manufacturing getting really quite strong. So that is good news. But you're also right, you know, the sand in the engine is a good metaphor. And I think it does come down partly back to the financial crisis. You know, when you think about the U.S. budget deficit problem, really a lot of that is about the financial crisis and the incredible costs that, you know, it imposed on the U.S. public. And it's important to remember, you know, that ordinary American taxpayers bailed out Wall Street. Wall Street likes to forget that, but that is the truth, and that is a real uphill battle that the U.S. economy is going to be fighting, and I think it's going to take a while to get past that.
One of the gauges of U.S. competitiveness is how, you know, U.S. CEOs are treated at a forum like the World Economic Forum in Davos, and especially in comparison with their counterparts in places like Russia and China and Brazil, where the CEOs and the sort of Carlos Slims of the world, the billionaires, are freer. They have more autonomy in some of these governments. In some cases, they even upstage the governments. Not so with American CEOs, who are seen to be saddled with regulations and American sort of political gridlock. How are the U.S. CEOs treated compared to, say, you know, a Brazilian magnate or a Russian plutocrat?
Well, it's a really mixed picture. I mean, I do think you hear a lot of complaints from American CEOs about regulation and so forth. But it is important to remember that these emerging market economies, although there's tremendous economic growth there and therefore a lot of opportunity, they're also really hard places to do business. I mean, talk about regulation. China, in fact, is still a communist country.
Right.
Brazil, another place that people are really excited about, is incredibly difficult to do business and has a real regulatory burden. So they don't really, in all justice, I think, you know, have that much to complain about, you know, America relative to the rest of the world. One thing that I think is important, you know, when you think about U.S. CEOs at a place like Davos, is I think a real dilemma for the United States is American business actually has been pretty effective at adapting to the global economy. American businesses are getting it, and they're actually prospering. And that is reflected, you know, in the renewed health of the stock market, in really flush corporate balance sheets. U.S. multinational companies that have global operations are very popular with investors right now. The real problem, and, you know, in some ways the tragedy for America, is that corporate success hasn't yet been shared with American workers.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, John, you know, are suffering unemployment of nearly 10%. And another, you know, not commented upon enough fact is people who have jobs have had their wages pushed down in many cases. So, you know, sharing the prosperity, I think, is something that the country needs to focus on, and maybe we'll hear something from the president about that. I hope so.
Well, if the message to Jeff Immelt is let's get competitive and show off our turbans, the message for the unemployed worker sitting on the couch is perhaps I'm looking around here for some levers to pull and I'm having difficulty finding them. Getting something that's going to actually translate to the workers is really the issue here. Chrystia Friedland, putting that in perspective for us, global editor-at-large for Reuters, on the line from Davos, Switzerland. Thanks, Chrystia.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.